Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, April the 12th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, there was a terrible shooting in Brooklyn, New York, this morning. They're still trying to figure out. Apparently, the shooter is running around town, and the police is after him. So I don't have all the details, and we're going to try to maybe get more information about this. But I do find it very interesting when the governor of New York comes out and says, we're sick and tired of all these crime headlines. Well, yeah, the people of New York are sick and tired of all these crime headlines, but they're also sick and tired of politicians who don't do anything about it, who've allowed all this crime to happen. I mean, New York City was not always this way. When Giuliani was mayor, the city was very safe. When Bloomberg was mayor, the city was very safe. So something's happened over the last 4 or 5 years that has made New York City this crazy. I'm glad that the governor is sick and tired of the crime headlines. Well, maybe the governor can do something about it, like support the police and support the citizens who are just simply fed up with this crime wave. It's not just New York City. It's a lot of these Democrat-run cities where it seems like whether it's the district attorney or the city council or the mayor, nobody is doing anything to fight this crime in many of these big cities run by the Democrats. And maybe in November, people who live in those cities will finally wake up and throw out these people who've been running their cities so poorly, Democrats, to be quite direct about it. Well, let's talk a little bit about a post. I have a post over at the American Thinker today. You can read it in this page where you follow my videos or where you follow my podcast, and you can read it. And it's about the January 6th committee, because the January 6th committee, as many of us have said before, has really turned into a partisan political thing. It doesn't seem to have any clear objectives, and it's being guided by a bunch of people who seem only interested in talking about President Trump. Well, they're having a problem right now. I guess there are some divisions within the committee as to whether or not to prosecute crimes, go to the Department of Justice and do a criminal referral. Well, my suggestion to the committee is if they have something, put it up, because the American people are sick and tired of it. The American people are sick and tired of this investigation that doesn't seem to go anywhere. And as I've said before, people who were involved in this should be prosecuted. I have no problem with that. In fact, many of them have already been prosecuted. But it's become very political. It's become very political, and it's about time to end it one way or another. Either put up a criminal referral or simply say our work is done and we're going to go back to our districts and talk to our constituents about inflation. Because that's what people are talking about. Nobody, believe me, nobody is talking about January the 6th. People are talking about inflation. When you go to these districts, that's what people are talking about. So maybe the members of this committee can finally talk about something that actually matters to people, like inflation and gasoline prices. That's what everybody is talking about coast to coast. And, you know, Lynn Cheney got involved with this committee, and I feel bad. Because Lynn Cheney, I used to admire Lynn Cheney. Her father is one of my heroes, Vice President Cheney. And yet here she is joining this committee and hanging around with a bunch of Democrats who used to call her father a war criminal. I mean, I don't know how she does that. I don't know how she all of a sudden hangs around with all these people who used to call her father a war criminal. And so you have to wonder about Lynn Cheney, what's happened to her now. I don't know if she's going to be reelected or not. I don't know that much about Wyoming politics. But I think Lynn Cheney has a little soul searching to do and try to figure out why she became nothing but a token for these Democrats who were just interested in nailing President Trump. Not anything else. No, nobody seems to be interested, for example, we talked about this before. Nobody seems to be interested in learning why the Capitol was not protected that day. You have 100,000 people in the streets and the Capitol is not protected. That's crazy. Somebody needs to explain that. But nobody wants to talk about that. They just want to talk about Trump. Well, look, this committee, I think they realize, the members of this committee realize, that this whole thing is over in November. When the Republicans take control of the House, this committee, you know, it won't cease to exist, but it's going to change. And then maybe finally, we can actually have a hearing on why the Capitol was not protected that day. Because I think that's the one question that Democrats don't seem to want to touch. Why was the Capitol, or why wasn't the Capitol protected that morning? Well, let's talk a little bit about the big story of the day, which is inflation. Some news reports came out today. Inflation in March was a disaster, the highest in 40 years, 1982. Those of us old enough to remember 1982 will remember that there was a big recession in 1982. What happened back then was the Reagan administration came in 1981, and they inherited all these problems about inflation and a recession. And they sat down with the Federal Reserve, and the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, basically told the president, I have good news and bad news. The good news is I can fix this inflation problem. The bad news is that I got to put the country in a severe recession, and that's what happened. 1982 was probably one of the worst years that I can ever remember from the standpoint of the U.S. economy, because there was a recession completely, and it went into 1983. The country began to bounce back in the summer of 83. By 84, the country was just doing great. But 82 was a disaster, but the country had to be put in a recession to get all the inflation out of the system. And I think that's what's going to have to happen now. I really don't see much of another way to clean this up. I think the inflation is too high, and the only solution is a recession. And I don't see, that's not going to be nice. It's going to hurt me like it's going to hurt you. But I think that's the way we're going. The next 12 months, I think we're headed into a severe recession. Well, if you've been following Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, you know, he's a Democrat from West Virginia. West Virginia voted for President Trump by 39 points. So that's a very Republican state. And Joe Manchin is the only Democrat who can win in West Virginia. And that's because they know him there. They know him. And I think they trust that he's a conservative Democrat, not a liberal Democrat. Well, anyway, Joe Manchin came out swinging today, criticizing the Biden administration over these inflation figures and saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically saying, look, we got to stop blaming Putin for the gas prices. And we got to start doing something about monetary policy, controlling spending. And the other thing he said, very important, is that we have to increase our energy production. So Joe Manchin is really turning on the administration. And I think he's probably one of the few Democrats who can speak candidly about these things because he represents West Virginia. My feeling is that a lot of other Democrats feel the same way, but they just can't say anything. But if you look at the electoral map, the Democrats are in trouble in Georgia. The Democrats are in trouble in Nevada, in Arizona, in New Hampshire. These are four states that have senators up for reelection. And the Democrats are down, way down in all of those states. And part of the reason they're down is because President Biden is way down. And they're trying to distance themselves from President Biden. So I think Senator Manchin is exactly right. We got to stop blaming Putin for the gasoline prices. And we got to do something about energy production, start pumping some energy and getting some American energy into our system. We got it. I mean, we got plenty of oil here in Texas, got plenty of oil in Alaska. And if we can get together with our Canadian friends, they've got plenty of oil in Alberta. So we can, you know, we could become completely self-sufficient in North America and then offer those European countries a little bit of gas or a little bit of oil so that they don't have to depend on Putin, so that they're not bound by what Putin does one day or another. So that's an idea. And I think Senator Manchin is right on target. Well, a couple of things from on this day in history that I just wanted to share with you. April 12th, 1865. Many people believe this was the day that the Civil War began here in the United States. And it's because on this day in 1861, Confederate troops shot some soldiers, some Union soldiers, at Fort Sumter in North Carolina. And that was kind of, you know, many people believe that was the beginning of the Civil War. President Lincoln had been in office for less than a month. So this was the beginning of the armed conflict that came to be known as the Civil War, very bloody contest, to say the least, that finally ended in 1865. And on this day in 1945, April 12, 1945, the nation learned that President Roosevelt had passed away. He was vacationing in Georgia. He had been very sick, really, for quite some time, but the public didn't quite know the extent of his illness back then. But he had been sick for a long time. And on this day, he passed away. The country learned about it. And, you know, for a lot of Americans, particularly some of the young soldiers who were fighting in Europe or in the Pacific, you know, these guys were maybe 25 or younger. For many of them, Roosevelt had been the only president they had ever known because he had been president for 12 years, so more than half of their lifetime. And he passed away. Harry Truman became president of the United States. And then it was up to Harry Truman, President Harry Truman, to win the war in Europe, to win the war in the Pacific, and to make two, if not the two most difficult decisions that an American president had to make, and that is to drop the two atomic bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the two bombs that were dropped to end the war, and that they did. So Harry Truman became president on this day. Much of the country didn't know who he was. Again, because they just didn't. Roosevelt was such a towering figure that most of the country didn't know anybody else but Roosevelt. But Truman turned out to be a very consequential president, and it all began on this day in 1945. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a great day, and don't get wet. It's going to rain in Dallas today.